Well, if you'll please take your Bibles and turn at this time to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 8 is where we will start our message this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, there is an outline in your bulletin that you can also use to follow along. It also has the five challenges from our series on the challenge and power of one that we are looking at. We've been looking one at a time at five commitments, and we'll put those up on the screen for you as well. As on the back of your insert there. And today we are up to commitment number three. With God's help, I commit to cultivating one friendship with a non-believer for Christ this year. So once again, as with each of these, we want to look at this commitment today. We want to see what does it mean and why is it so important for us as a church that we would make this one of the five commitments we want to make as someone who comes to Plantation Community Church. One of the great dangers for the church is that it is very easy for a church to turn inward on itself. And it's very easy because we love each other in the church. That's a good thing. I'm glad we do, right? And we love to meet together. We love to worship God. We love to fellowship together. And those are all good things. But they are not the only thing. And because of our love for each other, we can easily become focused on ourselves and on meeting our needs as a church. And when that happens, we can lose the outward focus that the church has to maintain if it is going to fulfill its mission. One of God's purposes for his church is to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to those who do not know him. You'll notice that this purpose has both a local and a global dimension to it. We are to share the good news about Jesus in our community and then also throughout the world. Now, next week, we'll talk a little bit more about missions and the global aspect of evangelism as we consider the commitment of giving to the church. But today, I want us to look at the more local aspect of sharing the gospel, especially as it relates to this third commitment of cultivating a friendship with a non-believer for Christ. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Please stand with me as we read God's word. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he says, "We loved you," speaking to the Thessalonians, "we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at this verse and others, I pray that you'll help us with this area. Lord, I know a number of us have come up to me this week and said, "This is what I'm not so sure about. I don't know exactly how to do this." So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand better as we look at your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Personal evangelism is one of the church's greatest untapped resources for the kingdom of God. When we hear the word evangelism, we often think of people like Billy Graham, right? Preaching to thousands of people in a packed stadium. We say, "I could never do that." That's what evangelism is, right? Well, yes and no. We call that mass evangelism, and there is a time and a place for mass evangelism, preaching the gospel to thousands of people at a time, but it can never replace what we call personal or friendship evangelism. Billy Graham himself said the following. He said, "Mass evangelism is not the best way of evangelism. It seems to be the way that God has entrusted to me, and I must be faithful to it. But the best way of evangelism is when there are two people talking together, and one leads the other to Jesus." I love that. That is such a wonderful definition, description of what friendship or personal evangelism is all about. Two people talking together, and one leads the other to Jesus. Statistics show that most people who come to Christ today do so through the personal witness of a friend. In fact, in one survey of Christians conducted by the Institute of American Church Growth, it was discovered that 1% who came to Christ did so through evangelistic crusades. 1% came to Christ through visitation, someone coming and knocking on the door. 2% came to Christ through a special need. 3% came to Christ through walking into a church. 3% through a church program. 3% through Sunday school. 6% came to Christ through a pastor. 79% came to Christ through a relative or a friend. Now that is a pretty big number, isn't it? 79%. And yet so many Christians will readily confess that they do not share their faith with their friends. Some studies estimate that as many as 95% of all professing Christians have never led anyone to Christ. I hope that's not true for our church family. I hope more than 5% of us have led someone to Jesus, but I don't know. But this is why personal or friendship evangelism is one of the church's greatest untapped resources for God's kingdom. It's the most common way that people come to Christ, and yet so few Christians actually practice it. And so that's a big problem, isn't it? And so that's why we're looking at commitment three this morning, cultivating friendships with non-believers for Christ. So let's take a look at that now. What does it mean to cultivate a friendship with a non-believer for Christ? How do you actually go about doing that? Well, first of all, now we're moving into your outline now, if you want to take that out and follow along. First of all, it means developing a genuine friendship with the person. Let's go back to the verse we started with today, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he said, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God." Now, he did share the gospel, right? But it didn't stop there. "We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." Paul didn't just share the gospel and run. He didn't just pass out a bunch of tracts and then hope for the best, right? Paul developed a genuine friendship with the people in Thessalonica. Paul and his companions shared not only the gospel, they shared their very lives as well. Now, when it comes to friendship evangelism, there's two extremes that we want to avoid, okay? The first extreme is that of all friendship, no evangelism, okay? And that's probably the most common extreme, and we'll talk about that one a little bit later in the message. But the other extreme we want to avoid, and that's what we're focusing on right at this point, is all evangelism, no real friendship. We don't want to make the mistake of showing interest in another person only for the purpose of leading them to Christ. As good a goal as that is, as wonderful as that is, we don't want that to be the only reason we show interest in them. We never want to view a person as a project. You cannot be friends with a project. You can only befriend a person. And each person is a unique human being, created with dignity in God's image, and greatly, greatly loved by God. Even as we sang in worship this morning, "You're a good, good Father, that's who you are, and I am greatly loved. That is who I am." So when we talk about cultivating a friendship for Christ, we do not mean only in order to lead the other person for Christ. Now, we hope that that will happen as well, but we are cultivating this friendship for Christ's sake. In other words, we love this person. Why? Because Jesus loves them. And they may never come to Christ. And even if they never do, that does not change the fact that we love them and that we offer them genuine friendship. What are the marks of a genuine friendship? Jerry and Mary White, in their book Friends and Friendship, identify 8 prominent characteristics of a good friend. There are probably other lists out there as well, but this is as good as any. Love, loyalty, sharing, fun, sacrifice, encouragement, stimulation, and spiritual challenge. I look at that list, I go, well, that sounds like a real good friend. I'd like to have some friends with all of those qualities. That's wonderful. So you say, well, how do you build those qualities into your relationship? It's only one way, folks, with time and effort. There's no other way. That is how friendships are built. Have you ever had a friend that you never spent any time with, and you never made any effort to get closer. Have you ever had a friend like that? I've never spent any time with them, and we've never gotten close on anything. Is that a friend? No, of course not. Friendship evangelism begins where? It begins with a genuine friendship, and that takes time and effort. One reason that friendship evangelism is so important is that most people coming to faith today do so gradually over a period of time. Now, not everyone does. Some people hear the gospel. First time they hear it, they respond right away. That's why we should always be free to share the gospel with people. We never know, right? But there are many people who come to faith in Jesus more gradually. The report Finding Faith Together surveyed Christians who had come to faith in the previous 12 months. So they found Christians, brand new Christians, within the last 12 months you came to Christ. 69% of the respondents described their coming to faith as a gradual, rather than as the result of a sudden decision. According to the report, the gradual process is the way in which the majority of people discover God. And the average time taken is about 4 years. You go, wow. Now, once again, some people respond much more quickly. Some people respond the first time they hear the gospel. But the average in talking to people who come to faith in Christ is it took them a period of time to consider it and to read the Bible and to get to know Christians and to come to church and to hear the gospel a number of times before they were at the point where they made that decision. So this means if you want to reach people for Christ, then you need to invest some time in their lives. Like Paul, you need to love people so much that you're willing to share with them not only the gospel, but your life as well. So that's where we begin. If you're going to cultivate a friendship with a non-believer for Christ, you begin by developing a genuine friendship. That's the first thing we need to understand as we look at this commitment. Secondly, second step here, you need to pray for your friend. You need to pray for them. Look at Acts 16:14 with me for a moment. We'll put it up on the screen. In Acts 16, the Apostle Paul and his traveling companions, they arrive in the city of Philippi. They're moving around a lot. And they go down to the river. They're looking for a place of prayer. And there they find a group of women who are gathered there. They sit down and begin talking with them. And here's one of those cases where someone's going to hear the gospel and respond the very first time. We read in verse 14, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. What I want us to look at in this verse is, why did Lydia do it? Why did Lydia respond to Paul's message? Verse 14 says, because the Lord opened her heart. And that tells me that, yes, we can share about Jesus with people. We can do that all day, every day. I pray we do. But it is God who opens a person's heart to respond. And that is why prayer is so essential to the process. Now, some of you might be saying, well, that's such an obvious step. Pray for your friend. And it is, but let me ask you a question. Do you pray regularly for your non-Christian friends? Do you do that on an ongoing basis? Think about it for a moment. Think about your friends at work or in the community who do not know Christ. Do you pray for them? Have you ever prayed for them? Are there people whom God has placed in your life who do not know Christ for whom you have never prayed? And I think if all of us are honest, we'd say, yeah, there are people whom God has placed in my life. I know them, they know me, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, I've never actually prayed for them to come to know Christ. You see, it's an obvious step, but it's an easy one for us to miss. And unless we are intentional about it, let me tell you, if we're not intentional, if we don't write it down somewhere, if we don't make a point of it, we can let days or weeks or months or even years go by without praying for our friends. So what do you pray? Well, a couple things. First of all, you can pray for the various needs in their lives. If they're struggling with finances or health issues or their kids or just life, pray for them. Lift their concerns up to God on their behalf And this is so important, let them know that you are praying for them. You don't need to make a big deal out of it, but you can just mention it to them from time to time. Say, you know, I'm praying for you. Yeah, I'm praying for you about that. Most people appreciate that. They will accept that as a sign of loving concern from you, even if they don't pray themselves, even if they don't believe in prayer, they will appreciate the fact that you are praying for them and that you told them. So pray for the various needs in their life. Secondly, you can pray for spiritual interest. Many people seem to have no interest in God or the things of God. They get up each morning, they do their day, they go to bed at night, they haven't thought about God once. And it's like that day after day after day. Pray for them that God would begin to spark an interest in their hearts concerning himself and concerning spiritual matters. Pray that God would bring people and circumstances into their lives that would cause them to think about God and his place in their lives. Pray that they might pause to consider the ultimate issues in life, things such as sin and the human condition, death and judgment, God and forgiveness. And then thirdly, and most important of all, pray for their salvation. Pray that God would bring a conviction to their hearts concerning sin in their lives and their need for forgiveness. Pray that they would come to know the truth about Jesus, about who Jesus is and what he did for them on the cross. Pray that they would come to embrace Christ as their Savior by faith, that they would enter into a personal relationship with God through Jesus. Pray that God would open their hearts to respond to the message, even as God opened Lydia's heart in Philippi. William Law once wrote, "There is nothing that makes us love someone so much as praying for them." And I would add, prayer is one of the most loving things you can do for your friends. And it is an essential part of cultivating a friendship for Christ. I personally believe that no person has ever come to faith in Jesus Christ without someone first praying for them. You may be the only Christian friend that your non-Christian friend has. And if you're not praying for them, then let me ask you, who is? If you're their only Christian friend, who else is praying for them if you're not? You see, if personal evangelism is one of the greatest untapped resources for the kingdom of God, then certainly prayer is one of the most underutilized resources for God's kingdom. Why? Because God loves to answer prayer. And if we all prayed more for our friends, what a difference we would see in their lives. So how do you cultivate a friendship with a non-believer for Christ? First of all, you develop a genuine friendship. Secondly, you pray for them. And then thirdly, you share Christ naturally as God gives you opportunity. We read from Colossians chapter 4 earlier in the service. Let's go back to one of those verses, Colossians 4, 5. It says this, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." I like that. Paul says to act wisely when it comes to your relationship with those who do not know God. He says, be wise in your behavior. Be wise in your attitudes. Be wise in your conversations. Be a good friend. Look for opportunities to demonstrate God's love to your friends in concrete and practical ways. Being wise also means looking for those opportunities to share Christ naturally without being pushy. What are some of those opportunities? When God answers a prayer in your life, share that with somebody. Why not? They're telling you what's going on in their life. You can tell them, you know, hey, you know, I was praying about this and God answered this prayer. That's wonderful. If you've learned something new about God in church or in Sunday school or in your Bible reading, tell them. First person I ever witnessed to was in high school. We met at the bus stop Monday morning. I said, how was your weekend? He said, oh, did this, did that. He goes, how about you? I said, I went to a retreat. It was amazing. I gave my life to Jesus. He goes, okay. But then that opened up conversations, and not right away, but over time, and it didn't take 4 years, but over time, over the next several months, he came to the point where he put his faith in Jesus. So you can share what God is doing in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. As we mentioned earlier, pray for your friends. Tell them that you're praying for them. Mention that to them. Also, be honest with your friends. Don't be afraid to share your own struggles or fears or faults. Don't think that you have to come across as a perfect person to share Christ, because boy, if they know that I've got weaknesses, if they know that I fall and that I struggle, and you know, they're not going to come to Christ. Are you kidding? That might be what's keeping them away. They think, well, I could never be perfect. It's like, well, neither could I. I'm not. Here I am, warts and all, right? So be honest. They need to know that Christians also struggle, that Christians make mistakes, and that God still loves and forgives us anyways. Proverbs 11:30 says this, he who wins souls is wise. In other words, it takes wisdom to lead other people to Christ. So ask God for wisdom in this area. And trust me, God will give you many opportunities to share with your friends naturally and over time. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This tells us that you need to be ready when God brings those opportunities along. You're praying for opportunities. God, please give me opportunities to share Christ. So now you need to be ready when those opportunities come, because God's going to answer that prayer, isn't he? He loves to answer that prayer. Some of you may be thinking, well, I don't know if I am ready for that. I don't know what I would say if someone asked me about God. You know what you say if someone asks you about God? You just share with them what you know. You don't have to share with them what you don't know. In fact, you can't do that, so don't even worry about that. Share with them what you do know. You might say, well, I don't know very much. Well, share what you do know. And in the meantime, start learning more. If you know that you need to learn more, then keep learning. Get involved in a Bible study or a home group or a life group. Ask someone in the church about one-to-one discipleship. There's so many resources available to you to help you grow in your faith and in your knowledge of God's word. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared. So if you're not prepared, then you need to get ready, right? And you can do it. There's no reason you can't get prepared. Now, the most important thing you can share with your friend is about the gospel. In other words, it's not enough just to share that you're a Christian or that you go to church or that you believe in God. Those are all good things. Those might be entry things that you share at first, right? But you see, if you don't share the gospel, it's not evangelism. You might be sharing a testimony. You know, God changed my life. God did this. But until you get to the gospel, it is not evangelism. The word evangelism means good news. And the gospel is specifically the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And so we have to get to that. Remember, it's friendship evangelism. We don't want just friendship and no evangelism. We don't want evangelism, no friendship. We don't want friendship without evangelism. We need to share. So make sure you share about Jesus, the cross, Jesus' death and resurrection, and God's forgiveness for us. Friendship evangelism includes both friendship and evangelism. And then finally, notice the end of 1 Peter 3:15 speaks about your attitude. Your attitude when sharing with others about Christ. Peter says, do this with gentleness and respect. Unfortunately, some Christians, well-meaning, but they've actually turned people away from Christ by being pushy or disrespectful when speaking about Christ. And Peter knew that. And that's why he says your attitude is just as important as the words that you share. Share Christ naturally as God gives you opportunity, and do this with gentleness and respect. Okay, we're ready to look at commitment number three now. Remember, we started off this message today talking about how the church is always in danger of turning inward. So the first question I want us to consider is this: are you involved in friendships with people who do not know Christ? Or are all your friendships exclusively within the church? If you've already got friends outside of the church, you're halfway there. If you got no friendships outside of the church, you got some work ahead of you if you're going to do commitment number three, right? Because commitment three says, I'm going to commit to cultivating a friendship with a non-believer for Christ this year. If I were to summarize the thrust of today's message, it would all come down to this: non-believers need Christian friends. Non-believers need Christian friends, and your non-Christian friends need Jesus. It's really that simple. And yet all it takes is time and effort. You need to consciously get involved in other people's lives. If you don't have any non-Christian friends, what can you do? Well, get involved in your neighborhood or community. Find something you can get involved in that will put you in contact with other people who may not know Christ. And then what do? You develop a genuine friendship with that person. And then you begin to pray for them. And then you share Christ and the gospel naturally as God gives you opportunity. Folks, that's something all of us can do. This is not a hard commitment. It might be a little scary up front. When you break it down like that, this is something we all can do. Can you imagine if all of us in our church followed through on this commitment this year? If all of us focused on even just one friend that, you know, we were really just spending extra time with and pouring our lives into them and, you know, praying for them during the week and then just letting them know that we're praying for them and asking God for opportunities to share Christ. And then in the midst of all that, as you've been praying for them and praying for God to give them spiritual interest and to open their hearts and to bring that conviction of sin, knowing that God answers prayer, and then as God brings, and you're saying, God, give me opportunities, and when the opportunities comes along, and you know, you're sharing just very naturally about Christ and you share the gospel. Can you imagine how many people would be affected for the gospel? You know, we said the easiest way to grow a church is just for everyone to show up. Okay, well, that's the easy way. But the most important way to grow the church is to bring new people in and to share Christ with them. And so that's our challenge this morning. Commitment number three. Take a look at it. Pray about it. And if you're ready to make that commitment, you make that before the Lord. With God's help, I commit to cultivating one friendship with a non-believer for Christ this year. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for the gospel. Lord, each person here who knows you knows how precious that gospel is to them. And each of us only knows you because someone else told us and took the time to share with us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use the scripture verses that we've looked at today, that you would use this message to encourage us, to prompt us, to help us to be more conscious of the people around us in our lives who need you and how we can be a better friend to them in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.